I got to where I could sleep soundly with you like a little puddle on my chest. Your exhausted mother needed a little break. When I was newly married, I expected my wife to be a superwoman. I soon learned that if she was going to last through several more childbirths, and that in good spirits, she was going to need a lot more support. Treat your wife as a delicate flower, and she will bloom with an energy to be a more giving mother. I am aware that you boys don't need much sleep. However, if you experienced a major operation every 2 to 3 years, having a 20-pound tumor removed, and you had to lend your body to a dairy farmer, you would need a little more rest too. Allow your wife to sleep a little longer than you do, and she will be more efficient. Though I spent a lot of time with you when you were young, I always told your mother, they are yours until they can follow me outside, and then they are mine. Take your little ones along on many adventures. Explore and discover the world all over again with each one. I used to take you rabbit hunting in a backpack. My rabbit dogs got so conditioned that when they saw me with a backpack, they just knew we were going hunting. I think Rebecca was glad when Gabriel came along and displaced her from the old rumble seat. Provide lots of junk for your children to exercise their creativity. Cardboard boxes, wooden blocks, sawdust, sand, sticks, hammers, and nails. Avoid store-bought playthings that can stifle creativity by limiting imagination. An important principle to remember is that the more time you spend doing things together, the fewer discipline problems you will have. A child who adores his father will want to please him in everything. A child can't rebel against his best buddy. When they are big enough to look at pictures in a book, spend time turning pages with them. When they are old enough to understand, begin reading or telling Bible stories. Throughout the day, as it is natural, tell them of our Heavenly Father. Together, examine nature as the wise creation of a magnificent God. Don't put off spending time being a daddy. Each day they grow without you is like a tomato plant growing without being staked. It spreads without direction, and weeds come up inside where they cannot be seen or easily removed. Without staking, the fruit will be brought forth on the ground where it will rot. A father who is there, always involved in his child's life, will know the heartbeat of his child. If you will praise and reward the desired behavior, there will be very little undesirable behavior. You will be speaking 50 encouraging words for every rebuke. But don't fall prey to the modern psychological jargon that promotes running in to say something positive to bolster up a child you've neglected. It is artificial and it is flattery. Positive statements that are not warranted by legitimate good works are destructive. A child should know that he has earned every word of praise. Praise not based on deserving works is as unjust as is punishment without provocation. It will teach a lie because it reverses reality. There is no substitute for real life presence. If your child is not doing anything praiseworthy, then take his hand to walk beside you until he does something worthy. Neglected children become rejected children. A child must have his father as a plant must have light to grow healthy. A flashbulb approach is not sufficient. A slow, steady shining of the father's presence is what is needed. Don't ever leave the spiritual training to their mother, no matter how good a job she does. Otherwise, the children will grow up thinking religion is for women. You put the children to bed in the evening and read and pray with them. As your boys get older, make sure they are not confined to studies too much. By the time they are 12 or 13, they should be finished with structured school and be involved in an occupation with you. Continue to expose them to concepts and ideas, but above all, provide real-life problems that they must solve. Bicycle, small engine, or appliance repair. All forms of building and maintenance are essential training. The concept you are seeking to convey is one of independence and confidence. A child who can do it, fix it, or make it will try new things and expect to succeed. The confidence learned in work will translate to success in education and life itself. Remember the 27-year-old Amish fellow with his first car, going off to college in a faraway city, leaving all the things that were familiar, facing challenges never before considered. I was apprehensive about his ability to succeed in this new environment. He had none of the necessary skills. His educational ability was about equal to that of a sixth grader. When I tried to warn him of the difficulties ahead, he said, "I have always been able to do everything I try to do. I can do this also." It was hard on him. He got a B average the first semester. Whether it was the product of his hands or his head, he had learned to succeed. If you burden a young child with studies to the point of making him feel inadequate, you are building a foundation for failure in him. First, teach your children to work with their hands, and the education of their minds will come more easily. Don't leave your boys at home with mother and the girls in a classroom setting. They should be out with the men. Boys, guide your wives to understand training and discipline. Don't take for granted that they are automatically equipped to be mothers. Some mothers don't have the courage to discipline. They will tell the children, "Just wait until your daddy gets home. He will spank you." When you walk through the door, you will want the kids to all come climbing onto your legs and pulling on your arms, not cowering in a corner.